We bring on our buddy Tim Kelly, editorial director for Phillies Nation. Tim joins us now. You can find him at Tim Kelly Sports on Twitter. Tim, what's going on, man? A big deal for Zach Wheeler today. Finally gets done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it ended up being a pretty good deal for both sides. A few years ago when Max Scherzer was a free agent, he signed 3 years, $130 million. So this is pretty close to that. He didn't have to go into free agency to get it, but he's actually a couple years younger than what Scherzer was at that time. And I think the deal works out for both sides.
Yeah, and just, you know, after what happened last year with Aaron Nola, Tim, and we don't know how much it really affected his pitching throughout the year, but how big is it for the Phillies just to not have to deal with this concern throughout the course of the season, to just get this thing done and just to have that certainty that, hey, Zach Wheeler is going to be here for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think more than the player, it's just good for the Phillies. It's good for future roster construction, knowing that you're not going to lose the first or second or third best player on your team after the season, knowing that he's locked in for the foreseeable future. And we'll see how he ages. But in the 4 years he's been with the Phillies, he has been kind of on the level of like what Cliff Lee was during his time here. And I think he now, with an additional 4 or 5 years, has a chance to go from being in that like Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee league with the Phillies to being closer to like Curt Schilling and Cole Hamels and some of the very best pitchers that have ever pitched for the team.
Yeah, Tim, and one of the important things here, and what kind of surprised me a little bit, is that this was only a 3-year extension. He's got the year still remaining on his current deal, but only 3 years, obviously a high AAV of $42 million a year. But did that surprise you that Wheeler was amenable to doing maybe a shorter term deal? And are you surprised it wasn't longer in terms of years?
Not necessarily. He still has this year and then 3 more years. He just had his third child was born last weekend. So, I mean, guys don't know what they're going to want to do in 3 or 4 years. And he'll be, I believe, his age 37 season is the last season of that deal. He's a power pitcher that had some injuries earlier in his career. I think it's entirely possible at the end of that he's still pitching well and somebody puts $20 million a year in front of him and there's no way he can walk away from it. But I don't think that it's crazy for a guy to say, yeah, after 15 years in the league or whatever between the minors and majors, that'll be enough for me. I'd like to spend the millions and millions of dollars I have and spend time with my kids and family and all that. I don't think that surprised me. I do think if he had played this year out and had a really good year again, similar to last year in free agency, he probably could have looked for 4 years. But no, I think the 3 ended up being a good number for both sides.
Tim Kelly joining us now, editorial director, Phillies Nation at Tim Kelly Sports, where you can find him on Twitter. And you know, Tim, you mentioned it a little earlier on about the original signing of Wheeler and how big a bargain that ended up being. I mean, how great of a signing was that? And how much credit, even though he's kind of a figure who we criticize a lot in this town, how much credit does a guy like Matt Klentak deserve for inking Wheeler to that deal originally, considering how big of a bargain it's been?
Yeah, I think Matt Klentak definitely deserves credit for that. I mean, you look at it now, 5 years, $118 million. No matter what happens this fifth year, I think you can make an argument that in terms of value, that's the best free agent signing in the history of the Phillies. It's that good. He's been so much better. He's been somewhere between the first and fourth best pitcher in baseball over the first 4 seasons of that contract. So I think without a doubt, that deal played out tremendously for the Phillies. And I mean, you look back at the time that Gerrit Cole was a free agent that offseason. I don't think he was coming to the Phillies at that point. The other options that were kind of similar, Steven Strasburg was a free agent, signed a 7-year deal that's gone horribly for the Nationals. And then Madison Bumgarner was a free agent who signed a 5-year deal with the Diamondbacks. And I think at that time, a lot of fans probably would have gone for Bumgarner given his reputation. He didn't even make it through 4 seasons of that deal before the Diamondbacks basically released him, and he hasn't been heard from since. So the fact that they identified Wheeler, made that signing, it's kind of what you talk about in free agency all the time, is you're trying to find guys who you're paying for the future, not the past, and they did that with Wheeler.
Yeah, so Tim, you look at the rotation right now, it's pretty much the same as it was at the end of last year. You got Wheeler, Nola, Ranger Suarez. Taiwan Walker has been dealing with some soreness, and then Christopher Sanchez on the back end. Now, still Blake Snell's out there, Jordan Montgomery's out there. Do you think that the Phillies, even after making this move for Wheeler, could still be in play for those guys if, you know, one of those players decides they'll take a 1 or 2 year deal? Do you think the Phillies could be in play, or do you think this kind of takes them out of the equation?
I don't think it's a 0% chance, but it's probably closer to 0 than 100. With Blake Snell, I don't think it's going to happen because Blake Snell signed a deal or declined a qualifying offer from the Padres, meaning the Phillies would have to give up their second-round pick, their fifth-round pick, and bonus money for the international signing period. They would have to give that up to sign him, and they've given it up basically every year for the last 5 or 6 years. And to this point, they haven't done that this offseason, and as you're talking about trying to build the next wave and have sustained success, not giving that up for a year would be pretty good. Montgomery's a little more interesting because he wasn't eligible to receive the qualifying offer because you can't get it when you're traded in the offseason. So the Phillies would just have to give up dollars to sign Montgomery. I think it's something that they should at least stay kind of in the market and in the loop on where things stand. I wouldn't bet on it happening, but I can at least see where that makes more sense because you don't have to give up anything more than dollars. And the difference with him is if he opts out and leaves after a year, you can give him a qualifying offer and get some compensation if he leaves in free agency. Blake Snell wouldn't be eligible for the qualifying offer because you can only get it once in your career. It's a lot of minutia, but it does matter in terms of building an organization that wants to sustain success.
Interesting. Tim Kelly joining us now, editorial director of Phillies Nation at Tim Kelly Sports, where you can find him on Twitter. Tim, we haven't spoken since the Whit Merrifield signing. Your thoughts on that, and what kind of role do you think he's going to have on this team? Do you think he's going to float all around the diamond here, and do you expect him to be in the starting lineup more often than not?
I think he'll float around. I would say what the Phillies envisioned Scott Kingery doing 3 or 4 years ago, or more than that now, is about what I would expect from Whit Merrifield. I do think he maybe, they've talked about this, will benefit a little bit from not being an everyday player. He's 35 years old, so he'll benefit from that. But this is someone who can play second base. He can play really pretty much any position. But I think the two primary you're looking at here, you're looking at him as an outfielder, left and center field, and then you're looking at him as a second baseman. Now, Bryson Stott, in my opinion, should be playing every day no matter what. But both him and Brandon Marsh in left field did have some days where they were taken out of the lineup last year against tough left-handed pitchers, and Whit Merrifield would give you an option that goes in there. It wouldn't be a massive downgrade. In center field, he's insurance to a degree with Johan Rojas because he can go into left field and Brandon Marsh can play center field. So he gives you all that, and then, of course, if Alec Boehm gets injured, if Trey Turner gets injured, whatever, things that happen throughout the course of an 162-game season, you kind of have an insurance option.
Yeah, and some of those other bench spots, Tim, which is kind of the spot to look right now with this roster, how do you see that all playing out? It kind of seems like it's going to be between Jake Cave, Christian Pache. Between those two guys, who do you think's the favorite to make this roster?
I think Pache would be the favorite. The only thing about that is you would go into the season without a left-handed hitter on your bench outside of Garrett Stubbs, who would be the backup catcher. I think Jake Cave is better than most people think. I think he's a good outfielder. He has some pop. But he had chances last year late in the regular season and the postseason where he largely didn't come through at the plate. Pache, we really don't know what he is as a hitter still. He hasn't shown much. He's had a few nice at-bats this spring, and he looked good for small stretches during the regular season last year. What we know about him is that he's probably one of the 5 best defensive outfielders in baseball. The problem is he is a little redundant on a roster that also includes Johan Rojas. So I'm interested to see how things shake out. I would lean towards Pache being the guy just because I think you just find a way to keep that glove in your organization. Both of them are out of minor league options, so whichever one doesn't make the team will either be traded or picked up on waivers by somebody else. So it's not only who gets that final spot, it's probably who stays in the organization.
Tim Kelly joining us now, editorial director, Phillies Nation, at Tim Kelly Sports, where you can find him on Twitter. And just a couple more for you, Tim. The bullpen looks very similar to the way it did last year. Obviously, the Phillies do not have Craig Kimbrell back this year. But how do you feel about the bullpen heading into this season, and anybody in specific that you're kind of looking at to start the year?
I'm looking at Sir Anthony Dominguez. He just never really felt right with him last year. And if they're able to get him back to what he was at 2 years ago, then they're going to have a very good bullpen. Jose Alvarado, Jeff Hoffman, Matt Strom, go down the list. I think Gregory Soto is going to be much better this season. Didn't have the visa issues that he had last year. Got into camp on time. Wasn't traded in the offseason. Like, there was a lot working against Soto. He also, outside of like five or six games last year, was really good. The problem is, in those five or six games, he gave up three or more runs. So he needs to limit the blow-ups, but I think he'll be much better. I look at this bullpen now, and I think it's good. It's solid, particularly if Orion Kerkering is up to the task. I do wonder, though, like, are we going to look up halfway through the season and say, man, can you imagine if they had signed Josh Hader, what this bullpen would look like with being able to use Alvarado in whatever situation, knowing that you have Josh Hader in the ninth inning, who got 5 years, $95 million, I think is a more than fair deal for him. That would be kind of the only thing that I would say. I think it's good. It could have been great, but you still leave yourself some flexibility to make a move for a closer at the trade deadline, I guess.
Yeah, now, Tim, don't get mad at this next question. I am obligated to ask it, but the lineup. Obviously, big topic conversation, always who's going to be the leadoff hitter. Do you think Kyle Schwarber will be the leadoff hitter on opening day, or do you think Rob Thompson goes in a different direction?
I think it'll be Kyle Schwarber on opening day, and I can't get worked up about this anymore. I've listened to Howard ask it every day for the last 3 years. It's just, it is what it is. Kyle Schwarber is the leadoff hitter. They've won a ton of games with him, and getting worked up in an 162-game season over what the lineup is on June 4th is just not something that I'm particularly interested in. I think there will be times throughout the season where Bryson Stott maybe leads off, but and maybe Trey Turner, but the way you have your lineup with so many lefties, it makes more sense to have a left-handed hitter hitting first than a right-handed hitter, so I think it'll be Schwarber or Stott, but there may be a point this season where Kyle Schwarber's scuffling and they move him down and Stott comes up. But I would say it'll be like how it's been the last 2 years, where 130 games, Kyle Schwarber's the leadoff hitter. And, yeah, maybe he isn't Jimmy Rollins, although I remember people complaining about Jimmy Rollins as a leadoff hitter at the time. But he's somebody that they've won a lot of games with, and being up 1-0 after the first batter of the game, it's not half bad.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. And just one more for you, because I know you're a true sportsman. Jason Kelce retires today. Is he the greatest Eagle of all time?
No, he's not the – I mean, I guess, like, the greatest Eagles player of all time is Reggie White, probably. And Brian Dawkins would go into the category. But Jason Kelce's a Hall of Famer, number retired, all that. One of the greatest players in the history of Philadelphia sports, no question about it. I wouldn't put him at number one, but he's, you know, in the top five or six, I would say. Chuck Bednarik.
Yep. Oh, okay. There you go, Tim. Well, appreciate you hopping on as always, man, and look forward to seeing you at the ballpark in a few weeks. Should be a fun season.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tom.